since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
It is Monday, so that, of course, means we're going to talk NBA basketball, as we're going to do all season long. And we're going to bring in James Holas. You know him on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin. He's also half of the Dunk Tales podcast. We'll talk about that in just a bit. James, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Great to talk some NBA basketball on this Monday. Thank you.
Always good to talk basketball with you, my man. It's been a good weekend of basketball. It's been a good first, 10 days. A lot of good stuff to talk about.
Remember back in the day when Halloween was opening night for the NBA? Like, this was a big deal. I remember as a kid, it was a big deal. There was no thoughts of going trick-or-treating because there was NBA basketball all night on Halloween.
I don't remember back then when there was only 8 teams. And
Yeah, good point.
And then we're roaming the streets, so that's something you to remember. I don't remember all that. Sorry.
Well, here we are on Halloween this year. We have a good 6-7 games already in the books. And, James, you and I have really jumped around over the last couple of weeks and just thrown topics at one another. Here we are now, 7 games into it for some squads. What stands out to you?
What stands out so far has been the slow start for the Warriors. The fast start for the Jazz, and who's that other team? Basically the Jazz, yeah. Oh, Portland. And Portland stands out for their nice little start.
Yeah.
But yeah, just right now, everything's kind of bunched up, but I think what stands out is just like what we talked about before, it takes about 20 games for everything to kind of normalize. So we're going to see some outliers, and right now the outliers have been pretty impressive and pretty, but the Philly's been another story, so. Yeah, just the wild swings so far.
Let's start by talking about the Golden State Warriors, a team that I know if you're a Warrior fan, again, just look past the idea that you're 3-4 at this moment. But it is so difficult, man, to repeat. So many things have to go right, and this is a team that really peaked at the right time last season. I was never a full believer in the Golden State Warriors. They made me look like a fool come postseason, especially the way they handled their business against the Celtics in the finals. When you look at the first 7 games for the Warriors, what is the issue? I mean, defensively, they're giving up over 120 points a game. I think that's most in the Western Conference, if I'm not mistaken right now. They're allowing the most points. Obviously, that's, again, a 7-game sample size, which is not huge. But defensively, they have not been great.
And that's where they're operating on 2 timelines. They have their current core, which obviously is Steph, Clay, Dre, and a guy like Kevon Looney, right? That's the guys who really did all the yeoman's work to get them the championship. Then they got those young guys, right? Wiseman's being worked back in, Kuminga, Moody, and Poole obviously has got his money. And I noticed a lot in those first few games I watched, they actually would run second units with no starters on the floor, right? So it'd be all young guys. And they also brought in, what's the guy's name, from Milwaukee, the forward. Either way, so there's basically, they've been running 2 different units. They make some mass throughout the game. But, I think what really stands out is there is no Sean Livingston. There is no David West type guys. You know what I mean? Veterans who really know how to play, who could maybe possibly start on some teams or be crucial role players, some teams that are there to be like the stopgap for the bench. Now it's basically the starters and then a bunch of really young guys. And then Jordan Poole would be that one kind of maybe swing guy, it seems like. And he's still a young guy. So, it's definitely they're trying to meld, and they're trying to make sure that they move forward and winning now and winning later. And that's they're taking their lumps right now.
Yeah. So are you saying that basically Dante DiVincenzo has to be that guy? He has to be that David West type guy.
And he's not even on that level. You know, I mean, David West, by the time he got to the Warriors, was a grizzled vet. He'd been there, a decade plus or whatever. And he was, a great mid-range shooter, still a strong post defender. DiVincenzo is a really good player, and they definitely need him to be successful. He is a good guy to have off the bench, but there's just not a lot of other guys like that, you know. So they're definitely struggling with that. Kuminga, I think, hasn't been as he hasn't developed as much as they thought he would have by now. Wiseman has looked pretty bad these last few games after having a stellar preseason. I just think it's this is the growing pains if they're going to try to operate on 2 separate timelines.
The Warriors have also been in the news for a completely other reason, talking about the luxury tax, which you and I have had several conversations on. I know you've also addressed this on Twitter several times, but Joe Lacob has also talked about the idea of the looming luxury tax bill, and now there's this idea that the NBA may actually change the way teams can approach the luxury tax bill, in a sense just making it a hard cap all the way around. Look, I'm a fan of the way the Warriors have approached things. However, when you have a luxury tax bill that's approaching $500 million, at some point in time, you have to pay up for that. And I'm not saying that this is the season, but it does hamstring you moving forward. There's no question.
I mean, I guess what I don't understand is when the NBA puts a penalty in place, if the other team is willing to pay, if a team is willing to pay that penalty, then like, what is the consternation about?
Yep.
It doesn't, you know, like if you tell me every time you get caught speeding, there's a $200 fine, and then I speed all the time, and I just pay the $200 fine. Then you say, "Oh, okay. From now on, if we, you know, every time you catch speeding on the 10th time, now you make a different rule. We're going to charge you $1,000 just because it's aimed at me." That doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Like, I get a lot of ownerships, or they don't like the fact that Golden State's basically just paying through the wazoo to keep their roster together. But that's the owner's prerogative. He's a billion. They're billionaires with deep pockets. They have that brand new arena that's making them money hand over fist. They got their own TV network up there, probably. So like, they're playing by the rules. What's the problem? So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see if they're gonna, you know, decide to put a hard cap after at a certain point with the luxury tax. And yeah, it's. Golden State has changed the game on the court, and now they're changing the game off the court.
Again, James Hollis, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, if we talk about teams that are getting it done, we didn't really talk in depth about the Milwaukee Bucks last week, but still, here they are, undefeated, 5-0 so far. When you take a look at the teams that they've beat, I mean, right out of the gate, Philadelphia, we thought that right there was going to be a quality win. Philadelphia has not looked great. They blast the Rockets, they blast the Nets, they blast the Knicks, they blast the Hawks. I mean, really, they're beating teams with relative ease at this point in time. Is this team, in your mind, thus squad to beat right now in the Eastern Conference?
It was really funny to me how many people kind of overlooked them and disregarded them coming into this season, especially because, and I get it, Milton's still hurt, right? I think he had a wrist procedure or something. But yeah, continuity is there. Giannis is amazing. I guess people kind of overlooked Drew Holiday. I'm not shocked, but yes, right now it seems like with that, they have the best player in the NBA, I think, in Giannis. They have a great role player. They all know they know themselves. They know they can do it. They have that belief from a couple years ago. I can't. Even Boston is looking a little shaky right now. As much as a Celtics fan I am, the Nets are looking shaky. We know Philly has a lot of work to do. Right now, it's hard to say. It's hard to say that Milwaukee is not the team that's the favorite out of the East right now.
You mentioned the Brooklyn Nets. We have to talk about the shape that this squad is in right now. 1-5, Steve Nash getting ejected from games. Kyrie Irving once again in the media for all the wrong reasons. And then you look at Kevin Durant. At what point in time do the Nets have to look at this and say, okay, I don't want to use the term blow it up. I hate that term because they have the assets to actually rebuild rather fast in comparison to a lot of other squads. But at what point in time do you have to look at this and say, it's not working, let's move on? Is there a time frame in your mind here with the Nets?
Probably last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just passed by. They should have done it when they wanted to, when KD was begging out. I get it. They didn't get the assets for him. But my issue with them is, like, we see Marcus Smart. We see Draymond in Golden State. We see, the franchise in general in Miami, right? It's all about culture and Jimmy Butler and his attitude. Every team has that kind of player that kind of is the soul of the team, and that's why I look at the Nets and they don't have a soul. They have great talent at top with KD and even Kyrie on the floor, the great talent. But mentally, they don't seem to have, for lack of a better word, gumption. There's no P.J. Tucker. There's no... It sounds cliche. There's no dog to them. They're happy to go out there and try to score. They don't really put a lot of effort into defense, a lot of pride in the defensive end. Other teams can outwork them and out-hustle them, no matter how talented. You get two guys score over 35 points, and they lost. And that's not going to stop anytime soon because they don't have that guy on their roster, you know? And NBA is such a fascinating place. It's so much about personalities and, like, chemistry, and I feel like they might just be a fractured team.
Same thing in Los Angeles, right? I mean, as you're describing what's happening here in Brooklyn, really, it sounds an awful lot like Los Angeles to me. I mean, yeah, you got your two top guys at the top, right? You have your Anthony Davis, you have your LeBron James. You really don't have, I like the word gumption. I think you hit it right on the head.
And even with LA, right? We've seen LeBron be such a, like him or not, we all can say he's shown leadership on the court, right?
Yeah.
But then you bring a guy like Russell Westbrook, who thinks he's a leader and wants to do things his way, and you know they got a really good win over Denver the other night, but even that felt a little bit like smoke and mirrors, and more about Denver's lack of defense than maybe the Lakers. So yeah, and it's even while the Nets have on paper a good roster, a decent roster to go around two stars. The Lakers are like the bizarro, where they have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and then this weird hodgepodge mismatch of players that doesn't really fit. You know, Pat Beverly's little, you know, the dog and Pat Beverly can't overcome such a shoddy roster with such a, you know, the lack of shooting. So, yeah, there are definitely parallels to be drawn between the Nets and the Lakers. But while the Nets' problem is they have the talent and no soul, I feel like the Lakers almost have too much soul that's maybe competing and not enough talent.
James, speaking of hodgepodge talent, you know, we've talked about the Jazz and how fun and entertaining they've been to watch. San Antonio Spurs are right there with them. I think if you look at the first seven games of the season, two biggest surprises have got to be the Jazz and the Spurs. Both rosters are just, they're just fun. Like, I can't really think of another word to really describe it. Difference is, Utah's got a 35-year-old head coach. San Antonio Spurs have one of the greatest of all time in Greg Popovich. Yet, these are two teams that have been very entertaining to watch. And if you look at the resume of the San Antonio Spurs up to this point in time, they've got wins over the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have a win over the 76ers. They have a couple of wins that we can look at right now and say, all right, maybe something really is, I don't know if it's sustainable to say this is a 5-2 team, right? But in the same sense, it's fun. It's entertaining to watch.
And they also are following the Celtics game plan. They have these two versatile, you know, scoring wings, not at the same level, right? They have the poor man's Celtics. Keldon Johnson has been my guy to watch. He's a lot of fun.
Yep.
He's big. He's athletic. He's shooting the three with confidence. And then they got the kid Vassell, who's, you know, I think he's only 6'5", but he's a two, and he's scoring a little bit. He's aggressive. I love the fact that one thing I notice about them, they catch the ball and they go. And they all attack, and they're deep. McDermott's having a resurgent year. So, yeah, that was another team I didn't mention, the Spurs. And then the Jazz, again, I can say it. I was not a fan of the Jazz when they had Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. It is really fun to watch them. It's fun to watch Colin Sexton affect games. It's fun to watch Markkanen kind of shake off. You know, he's basically forgotten in Chicago. It's really fun. Kelly Olynyk, the old Celtics standby, is giving them key buckets and key minutes. Like, they find ways to win. Michael Beasley obviously had a checkered past in Minnesota. He had the big shot the other night and, like, was shimmying and the crowd's going crazy. That, to me, is where the NBA is all about, man. I get it. Big stars, big names, winning championships. But watching a team that shouldn't be winning win and have fun doing it, that, to me, is the essence of the NBA.
If we talk about the Spurs, and there's a correlation here to the state of Utah. If we talk about a guy like Jakob Poeltl right now, who's been very, very good for this team, right? I mean, they're not 5-2 without Jakob Poeltl. Here's a guy on an expiring deal. Can you think of another player whose maybe trade value has increased over the first week and a half of the season? Because to me, Jakob's that guy.
Jakob is definitely up there. Him and the other center guy, Zach Collins, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're both proven to be just like really quality rotation big man. Jakob obviously came into the NBA with much ballyhooed. A lot of people were really high on him coming in. He never really reached that potential, but I mean, he's averaging 14-11. He's by PER, which is player efficiency rating, he's the best player on the Spurs. You know, he's a smart defender. He's got good size. He's not going to stop an Embiid, but he seems like a pretty smart player. So, yeah, man, him and I, honestly, at the other end, Kelly Olynyk over in Utah, he's, you know, been kind of a forgotten man, but he's shown he can stretch the floor. He's crafty around the rim. He can score with both hands, and he's not scared. So he's not, you know, it's funny because, again, they're almost like bizarro players where Jakob is going to, you know, do most of the damage around the rim, and he's a defender first, and Olenek's an offensive player first, but they both are proving to be, like, winning players.
Who's the worst team you've watched so far this year? Now, we always talk about the best. Who's the worst team? And I don't even care if they're 5-2, 4-2, 3-3. I don't even care about the record. But when you sit and you watch basketball, James, they're a team that you look at and you say, yeah, this is just bad basketball all the way around. There's no hope for this team.
I'm looking at the standings right now, and it's funny to say this because, like, the Pacers had a really good win the other night. We saw Orlando beat the Celtics the other night. So even these bad teams play hard, and I can't say they're the worst. probably early on, and I'm not picking on the Lakers. Those early Lakers games were bad. They were hard to watch. They were really hard to watch. And I'm glad they turned it around. But, yeah, even Sacramento's been fun to watch. Houston's had some ugly games. They're 1-6. So I'm asking them to take away from the Lakers and give it to Houston, because when they're not good, they're really bad. They're a bunch of individual guys kind of running around like they're having a fire drill. So those have probably been the worst games.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely buy that. I think when you look at the Lakers, for one, the Lakers are going to win some games. I don't know where they finish, if it's 8-10, if it's 6-10. I don't know where they finish. They're going to win games. When I look at the Houston Rockets, they're not going to win games. They're not. I mean, this 1-6, this is kind of foreshadowing the remainder of the season in my mind. This is a 15-win team at best.
Absolutely, and that's by design, right? They're in the Victor sweepstakes. And, you know, they've brought in a lot of really young, raw talent over the last couple of years. Vets like Eric Gordon can't really, you know, Eric Gordon, by all accounts, is a great vet, but he looks miserable on the bench there. We already have footage of two of their young players kind of getting into altercation on the bench. So, yeah, they're in for, you know, once the newness of the season wears off and those losses starting to mount, that's when their coach is going to really earn his money. Let's see if we can keep the spirits up and keep them playing hard.
Well, let's end with this. We'll talk about the number one overall pick in the draft, Paolo Banchero. So far, he's been pretty good for the Magic, although it's not resulting in wins, another team with only one so far. But player efficiency rate, you mentioned that with Jakob Poeltl. It is a stat that I like to pay attention to. I know it has its flaws, as do all analytics. But the fact is, I mean, this kid's been very, very good. He's got one of the highest PERs for rookies right now in the NBA. He's averaging 22 points a game. He's been able to pull down close to 8 rebounds per contest. He's been able to share the ball. Number one overall pick, and he looks pretty good right now in Orlando.
I mean, I'm looking at his numbers, and I watched him again. He demolished Boston the other day. He's almost unstoppable. He's been very, very impressive. He's big. He's strong. He's faster than he should be for his size. I think Ricky LeBron averaged like 21-6-6. Well, this kid's averaging 21, almost 8-4 right now. And no one yell at me. I'm not saying he's LeBron James. I'm saying production-wise, that's incredible for a rookie. And he's not scared. That's the big thing, right? He doesn't seem like he's shook by the moment at all. Whoever he's playing, he's going at him. He's a physical specimen, man. He's a handful. And so I want to say rookie of the year is all wrapped up. We know maybe he'll slow down and somebody else will pick it up. But right now he's head and shoulders above all the other rookies.
He's James Hollis again, joining us every Monday to talk NBA basketball. James, it is always great to get you on the show. I mentioned the Doug Tales Pod. Give us some time. Talk about that.
Doug Tales Pod. Me and my buddy JP. We just kick back and talk hoops once a week. We're actually moving to recording on Mondays, I think, and just having fun. That's the thing. We neither one of us profess to be experts, but we have a lot of time watching the game, and we have our own insight. So it's always a good time.
Always a good time to have you on this show as well, James. I really appreciate the time. Can't wait for next week. Thank you again.
You are the man, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Let's pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.